AI.
Still collecting records and CDs? Well, it's almost here, folks, and it only happens once a year. WMNF's big record and CD sale. Throughout the year, the station receives records and CDs donated from our kind listeners, and then for five glorious hours, a huge sale goes down. WMNF's big record and CD sale. It all happens on Saturday, April 27th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the WMNF building, located at 1210 East Martin Luther King Boulevard.
Are in the Surly Temple with Donna Davis and
Nadia Gabin.
And you're listening to Surly Voices. We are fourth wave feminists, which means we get down like that. and I know what's on your mind today. I read minds. And you want to hear me sing this little ditty. It's a wonderful day in the neighborhood because Rob is back. It's a beautiful day for a neighbor. So yes, everyone, I know you've already heard, but I have to say it. Rob Laurie will be coming back. He is one of my heroes. He has been our mentor since we started this show.
We're excited about that.
And we are excited about that. And we're grateful. And we are appreciative of the board for making what we believe to be a judicious decision. I speak for the Surly Femmes when I say that. And we are in full celebratory mode. And we're going to go forward with the ideas of all the leadership and make WMNF 88.5 a better place. So what's on your mind this morning, this afternoon, Nadia?
Where do we start?
So many things.
A lot of things.
Many things.
A lot of things. Myself, I'm still recovering from this weekend's attacks and massacre in New Zealand. So much love and support came out of this community and the global community as a whole. I've been very impressed by the Prime Minister there in New Zealand.
Oh, yes.
And her leadership. And I went to the mosque, and they had a solidarity event in New Tampa Mosque on Sunday. And I was just overwhelmed by all the love and support from local religious leaders. We had some local city councilman, Luis Vieira, Pat Kemp from the county commission. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Thank you. I saw Ione Townsend, Dr. Reverend Meyer, Jason Rosenberg. And I was just, I just really felt the love and support from my local community. I think what a lot of people fail to realize is that Muslims across this across the world, in the Western world especially, we took this particularly hard because those people that were killed
with me my entire life.
Those people that were killed, you know, they could have been our mothers, our fathers. Those people look like our uncles, our brothers. Young children died, and this could have been, you know, any mosque in the Western world. People who died were Palestinian, Saudi, Moroccan, Tunisian, Pakistani, Afghani, and you know, this is representative of, you know, most mosques in the Western world, in Australia, the UK, America, and these people weren't, you know. People came out and, you know, prayers with New Zealand and, you know, our thoughts with the New Zealand people. But the problem is it wasn't New Zealanders that were targeted. These people were targeted because they were Muslim and not because of any other reason. And I was disappointed a little bit. A lot of people close to me even, who I consider to be, you know, progressive or human rights advocates, there was kind of a silence in that realm. There were no hashtags. There was no change of the profile pictures, you know, prayers with New Zealand. That was disappointing. And maybe that's because it's been, you know, it's okay to be Islamophobic. Uh-huh. And it's so rampant that sometimes people don't even realize that what they're saying is so hateful, or to spread sort of these stereotypes and anti-Muslim rhetoric. I was really, I did feel the love from, on the most part, locally here in the Tampa community, and that was really comforting.
So I want to talk about the response, the disparity in the responses. I know New Zealand is not inside of our country, and I know we're Floridians, and Parkland happened in Florida,
right.
And Charlotte happened in the United States, and I don't want to do the, you know, but what about this? But there's a glaring disparity in the way this registered for Americans, and the way some of the other. Conversely, the response from the global community when Parkland happened was very, there was a lot of support globally for what happened in Parkland. There were a lot of support for the activists that came out of that. And I am not noticing that with this tragedy where dozens of people were killed. And I think that the all human life has sanctity, and we're seeing some of the outgrowth of this continuous, never-ending rhetoric around and hate speech that's coming from our so-called leaders.
Right.
And we seem to be reaffirming our commitment to the American caste system. And it's going around the world. And shockingly, he whose name shall not be spoken, and I'm with Jacinda Ardern, who is the Prime Minister of New Zealand, almost a millennial, but you don't get to claim her. She was born in 1980, so millennials don't call in with your nonsense, please.
Very young for Prime Minister.
Yeah, but I'm glad you're listening. But she is 39 years old, and let me not interrupt myself. The man who did the shooting named Donald Trump as an inspiration, that he's given whiteness back its luster, right? Our president actually brushed that off. I am alarmed, right? And I think that we have to discuss where the line between offering an opinion and actual hate speech begins. People are listening and they're being affected by it. And there's nothing more lethal than people who are desperate, combined with this type of rhetoric coming into their ears constantly from all of these different sources. And so I think that we need to have those conversations. We should be having those conversations in our communities, in our churches, and we should be asking ourselves, if you don't have any Muslim Americans in your lives, then you should be asking yourselves why.
Right.
You know, and if you did call them last week, that's another conversation that I think folks should have with themselves.
Well, it's like I was saying, I don't think that people, it happened in New Zealand. You see what I'm saying? It's not here. You know what I mean? It didn't happen to anywhere near us. But that's what people don't know this. The reason why we're so affected is because of the silence from the great, you know, the worldwide community as a whole and people that are close to us. And this could have been here, any of the mosques in Tampa or in Florida or in the greater U.S., because it's happened before. You know, Muslims were killed in a mosque in Quebec. Sikhs were killed in their place of worship not that long ago. I don't think people realize this. Also, Sikh men are the number two targets of Islamophobia after Muslim women, because of ignorance. They assume that they're Muslims because you wear something on your head, so you must be a Muslim. In fact, that happened this weekend when a BET comedian actually...
Jessica Hilarious.
Is that
Jess
her name?
Hilarious.
Jess
yes.
Hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
She actually... I guess there were four Sikh men on her flight. And Jess Hilarious is a black woman. And she went and reported to the flight crew and said that she felt uncomfortable. And she was, Instagramming this the whole time.
Of course.
And she was very,
of course she was,
using very crass language and saying, I don't care. I don't like them. I don't want them here. And she got them removed from the flight. And that was particularly hurtful. I think coming from a black woman and you're going to racially profile, and religiously profile.
It's kind of wild.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I just really, really hated to see that.
Well, I'm going to give you my take as an African-American woman. I never understand it when black people, my sistren and brethren, I never understand the struggle in this oppression, right, in this caste. I never understand when they say, we got to watch out for the Muslims. We got to watch out for the Mexicans. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Whatever is being served to any other minority group has already visited you and is visiting you and will continue to visit you. You don't want that to come back in the style, right? You don't want people in cages to come back in style.
That's right.
Because it's going to get to you, right? We're still too vulnerable for us to endorse any type of xenophobia, racism, homophobia. I mean, it just grinds my gears.
I heard a very good analogy this weekend from one of these Muslim leaders who was on, I believe, a CNN, MSNBC, and she said that Islamophobia, anti-blackness, anti-Semitism, they're all branches on the same tree.
Yeah, they are.
And the soil is white supremacy.
Yeah.
And people don't think about that these are all, they come from the same source,
mm-hmm.
And if you can't say that, Black Lives Matter, but kill the Muslims.
Right.
I don't care about them.
Right.
Right. You can't advocate for, you know what I'm saying? You can't say, you can't say that about Jewish people. That's anti-Semitic.
Right.
But not care about Muslims and not care about black people. And
so what's the root of that? I mean, let's talk about that. We talked about a little bit this week, one-to-one. We talked about, America branding itself as a Christian nation, since its inception, and what that has meant for other religions. I mean, even people thought that John Kennedy would never become president because he was a Catholic, and that's a branch of the same religion, right? It's
right.
Still, under the Judaism category. And very difficult time Americans accepting that, he was not Protestant. We're looking at maybe having a Jewish president, in the next few years. I mean, it's going to happen inevitably. So what is the root of the Islamophobia that runs like a thread? I mean, I've been familiar with it my whole life. And the idea that even though we see white men committing these acts of terrorism, there's still the idea that the arch terrorist
right.
is a Muslim man with a beard who is wearing a robe and he's coming to get you.
Right.
Or a Sikh, which is a completely different religion entirely.
Right.
And some of the finest, most peaceful,
yes.
like the core of that religion and the ethos that they live by is so good as to almost be unbelievable. So that kind of blows my mind when I hear people talking about Sikhs and wanting to go after Sikhs. And it doesn't matter if a person is a Sikh or a Muslim because she says, I thought they were Muslims.
Doesn't matter.
So, what are you saying, Jess? Hilarious.
It all comes from Islamophobia.
Oh,
do you know, I think people don't realize, a few years ago, an Arab man who's actually Lebanese Christian
okay.
was shot and killed in Oklahoma because his neighbor harassed him constantly, made all these very, racist comments, go home, Arab, things like this. Arab is a slur, by the way. You can't call people, it's Arab, not Arab. People don't realize that, but it is. And he was shot and killed. He's a Christian. You see what I'm saying? But the Sikh man who was killed after 9/11. These issues are all rooted in Islamophobia, which is rampant. It comes from the greater issue of Orientalism. So this belief that people that come from that part of the world are backwards, dumb, barbaric. What other words have they used to describe? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Extreme, violent.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take the movie. It's our everyday culture. Let's talk about the movie Aladdin. Do you remember Aladdin came out in the 90s? I was young. The opening song, very first opening song, says, "Oh, I come from a land, from a faraway place where the caravan camels roam," as if the whole Arab world has camels in it.
It's just palm
right.
trees
right.
and
exactly.
desert.
and beautiful blue sea.
Right.
Right. Where they cut off your ear if they don't like your face. This is a movie for children.
It's indoctrination.
Yes. Or what about, notice that Aladdin and Jasmine had very nice, you know, attractive features. And spoke in American accents, and everyone else in the movie was fat and ugly with, you know, large, you know, not nice features, big noses, round bellies, things like that, that people would consider, you know, not attractive. There's a scene in the movie where Jafar comes to get the key from, you know, one of the people, and he said, I had to cut a lot of throats to get it, but, you know, I got it for you. So let's talk about games like Call of Duty. You know, lots of children play these games, Call of Duty, where it has, you know what I mean, as if they're fighting in a Muslim country. And there's, you know, Arabic written all over the walls. People also don't realize this. 20% of the Muslim world are Arab. Only 20%. That's it. We have Arab Christians. You know what I'm saying? Syrians, Lebanese, Palestinians.
Can you tell people there are Muslims in China and Russia?
There are Muslims in Indonesia. Indonesia. Malay. Actually, the largest population of Muslims is in Indonesia. 99.9% of Indonesians are Muslim. People don't realize that. Malaysia is a Muslim country. There's Muslims in India, in Pakistan.
Mm-hmm. All over.
Afghanistan, mm-hmm. In Eastern Europe. Mm-hmm. Albania, right. Macedonia. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that.
And 20% of the Muslims in the United States
are black.
Are black Americans.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and you saw that when we looked at the numbers, when we saw the countries that were represented in the massacre.
Right.
Last week, we saw people from Somalia and the Sudan, Ethiopia. We saw people from all over Africa. So, and then the question that I have is, while we're calling people out and demonizing them for their religions, you know, can we have one of these MAGA hat wearing people, you know, removed from our flight? You know, because that's right. The profile of the people who are likely to shoot up your classroom or your
grocery
store.
That's who I feel threatened by.
Right.
You know, I'm walking through Costco the other day just trying to get my groceries, and I see a MAGA hat.
Yeah.
And there's two of them actually talking to mm-hmm. each other. And I'm thinking to myself, are they talking about me?
Right.
Are they going to say something to me, you know, so I completely avoid that aisle and avoid those two men until, you know, every time I see, you know, a man with this huge, you know, what is it called? A thin blue line flag.
Yeah. Those terrifying.
I will make a huge right turn, left turn, U-turn, whatever it does to avoid that. What if they run me off the road? That's right. That's thoughts that I actually have to myself.
I'm terrified of the police. When I see the police like rushing past me, I love those foreign whips. I love speed. So officer, if you're listening, I'm just, you know, this is for entertainment purposes only. But
we have a call. Let's take a call from Anthony in St. Pete.
Hi, Anthony.
Yes, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling from St. Pete Beach, Florida, and longtime listener to your show. And I live on Vina Del Mar in St. Pete Beach, and I'm actually dealing with a similar problem on your topic today. I suffer from heart disease. I've had two open heart surgeries, have a bad valve and high blood pressure. And I listen to a prayer from the Quran that actually relaxes me and helps my blood pressure. It's a Muslim prayer. And I'm not Muslim, but it relaxes me. I respect all religions and backgrounds. And my wife's Lebanese and Armenian. And my neighbors complained because they didn't like the language. They complained to code enforcement a month ago. Code enforcement came out and let them know that no laws or ordinances were being broken and the volume was at a respectful level and also not against the law. Well, about 3 weeks went by, and this Monday I received two threatening letters in the mail threatening me and my family that this type of language and these type of prayers are not correct for this society, and please turn them off. And remember, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And also remember, we do not want to open Pandora's box.
Wow.
And this is a letter I received from my neighbors living in St. Pete Beach on Vina Del Mar. Two letters in the mail. And this is for something that I'm not doing wrong. And I'm a law-abiding citizen. And one of them is sent, I believe, by actually a commissioner.
Wow. I have actually some advice for you, Anthony. If you could,
I really appreciate it, because I'm actually in fear for my family, and we're very highly uncomfortable right now.
I would like if you could contact Care Florida, CAIR, Or if you need that information, if you could email DJ at WMNF.org. And I will call you after the show, and I will give you their contact information. I will put you in contact with someone who can help you. They are a civil rights organization, and they deal with discrimination cases like this and civil rights. So if you could please do that, or you can, if you know how to contact them, I really want to make sure that you get the help that you need.
Yeah, I do appreciate that, because I am in fear for my family. And if I could write down that, that email you told me to...
It's DJ,
DJ
at WMNF.org. Send me your email address or phone number, and I will call you after the show.
Yeah, I do appreciate that because, yeah, I mean, I take these threats very seriously.
You should.
And I think it's very, you know, like you guys have been talking about, you know, people are just, you know, ignorance, and it's racism. And I was always raised to respect all people, all religions. And I know every, and you know, the Muslim religion is a peaceful religion. And you know, I'm Christian, but I do realize this, and my wife's Christian as well.
Wow! And, so two Christians are being targeted by Islamophobia.
Correct.
No one is safe.
Yes, and just because we respect religion, and I, it soothes me. It relaxes me. I find it beautiful. It relaxes me. And for a guy that survived two open heart surgeries already and still has heart disease, all I'm trying to do is survive and relax. And I'm not doing anything to break the law. I'm not, you know, it's not blasting loud. It's actually, even when the code enforcement officer came over, he took a decibel reader and he went to each neighbor's yard and he said, no, this is not an illegal level. They're not breaking the laws. They're not breaking any ordinances. And this, I have proof of that. And in that document, and yet, these are the two letters I received in the U.S. mail threatening me and my family. And on Dina Del Mar, St. Pete Beach, you know, that people may think is a low-crime area, this is what's happening from the neighbors.
I'm very sorry to hear that. Please, you know, email me at that that address that I gave you, and I will contact you after the show. And thank you for calling, Anthony.
I appreciate that. I appreciate your help.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that escalated quickly. A guy has a prayer that he likes, and he prays it, and his neighbors overhear it. And the next thing you know, he fears for his life.
Yeah.
This is America.
You're listening to 88 WMNF, Tampa 88.5. We have a few emails on here, so let's see here. Let's catch. All right. We got, you guys are idiots. Just wait till the Muslims become a critical mass here in America. So I'm on air, you know, talking about Muslim issues, and I'm getting Islamophobic emails and hate mail. This is not the first one. This is actually one of a few. So let's go through them now. All right, let's see. So, MAGA hat wearers are removed from flights and kicked out of restaurants and gas stations wherever they go, thanks to Maxine Waters.
Having trouble with that correlation.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, no, I remember. I do remember this. Okay.
The man who did the shooting wrote in his manifesto that the intention of it was to cause more gun control controversy. Why don't you stop spreading fake news? This man killed 51 people. And your topic is about gun control?
I think that was incoherent, that email.
Right.
It was incoherent. Yeah, I wouldn't take that one seriously. Well, you have to take them seriously because these are the people that are committing these crimes, right? Folks with things like that.
Here, someone, another one says, who hate speech from our so-called leaders. Are you talking about Ilhan Omar? So, we call about the, you know, let's talk about the, you know, black Muslim woman, right, as 51 people die. We talk about, you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Just anything we can do to derail this conversation. Anything. I'm so sick of this.
So what do we do about it? Like, what can we do? This is obviously it's taking hold.
Right.
How do we talk to our neighbors? These people are not out there.
Right.
They're next door. They're in the cubicle right there.
They're in St. Pete.
They're in a Facebook Messenger group with us, just chatting us up all day, just being casually racist. You know, what are the tools that we, are we cultivating tools as a community to be able to talk to our friends, neighbors, coworkers, colleagues, the parents at our kids' school about this.
I think that just like when, you know, it used to be okay to say things that were racist or homophobic, right? We have to say something. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I see people who I'm friends with on Facebook, post things that are Islamophobic. And I don't say anything because, you know, you don't, you know what I mean? I'm not here to, like, you know,
tone
police people,
right.
And I get worn out. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of, hey, that's Islamophobic. Hey, that's Islamophobic. People don't realize that they spread these stereotypes all the time. And this Islamophobic rhetoric without even knowing. Like, what is it, Jeanine Pirro, just last week?
Oh, wow. That was wow.
Yes. Yeah. She says that, you know, what was the quote? Something about Ilhan Omar and her hijab is antithetical to the U.S. Constitution.
She said that.
It's ironic to me that this is supposed to be the land of freedom of religion, that the people who first came here and took over the country from the natives came because of religious persecution, and people are prejudiced now against people for doing the exact same thing, practicing their religion. And that's something that our Constitution guarantees us, is freedom of religion. And you practice your religion and you've got critics, and it's horrible. And
I think that the pilgrims were persecuted because of their outfits. Did you see those clothes they were wearing?
You know what's actually, people don't realize.
The day was off.
Let's look at some of the people who died, right? Afghanistan, Pakistan, Palestine. These are countries who have been bombed. These people have been victims of colonialism and American imperialism. So why do you think that they left their own countries?
Well, you know, Nigerians, I married a Nigerian. Nigerians will tell you, we did not come here to count bridges. And the way my ex-husband explained to me is that no one leaves everything they've ever known. The clothing, the food, their family, you know, the places where they grew up. No one would leave that willingly, right? What is familiar and what is nurturing to them. To come to a place like America, right? Because they're looking for opportunities that they don't have in their homeland, you know, and for someone to come across an ocean looking for that opportunity. And we could have a larger discussion about what's forcing people, what's creating these refugees, these throngs of refugees who need to flee these conditions. That's another conversation about empire and capitalism, but I digress. People are not leaving their homes because they want to, for the most part. They're leaving their homes because they're compelled to by the conditions.
You're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5. Let's go ahead and we have a few calls here. Let's take a call from Jay in Sarasota.
Oh.
Hi, Jay.
Hello. I'm listening to your conversation. I really think it's rather not too smart, frankly. There are two Islams. There's a Sunni Islam, which is Wahhabist today. And that's the dominant one. That's a billion people. There is the Shia Islam, which is sectarian in nature, that is to say secular, excuse me, not sectarian. And there's a sectarian war going on between the two. That's primarily coming out of Iran, where people are educated, where women have rights and have a parliament and sit in the parliament along with Jews and so forth. So you have no rights as a woman in Wahhabist Saudi Arabia. So you really need to define your Islam preachments. The greatest killer of all today, frankly, whether aside from our white racists, are the ISIS killers who follow Wahhabis to the nines. So you really need to clean up your knowledge that you're throwing around, which is fine. It's a good conversation if you get serious about it. But this business of just justifying Islam carte blanche without understanding what's going on is really strange. We had 65 people or more killed, a lot injured in Las Vegas, and the whole thing was silenced. The woman going back and forth with the husband who murdered all those people in Las Vegas was a Muslim. Now, there's no justification for killing anyone, even a violent ISIS member. But by God, if you're going to talk about the terrible thing that happened in New Zealand and the things that happened here, it's not about who's to blame, it's what's to blame. And the blame is in these extremists on all sides. But you got to talk about Wahhabism or you're not going to be talking with any sense in terms of Islam. The 24 rules of Sharia is what Wahhabists insist on. In 1979, historically, the Wahhabis took over Saudi Arabia and threatened the monarchy with death to the person if they didn't follow it. And they've been following it ever since. We just saw what Khashoggi did to the was done to him by MBS, the head of Saudi Arabia, and what the MBS is doing to the country of Yemen.
Okay, Jay.
Thank you so much for calling, Jay.
Jay, thank you for calling. You know, we appreciate
the mansplaining of Islam.
Yeah,
and the diversity of perspective. Unfortunately, I think that you're so off base as not to be on the map. Here, we're having a conversation about the sanctity of human life, our humanity, our birth in a nation that was conceived to offer people freedom from persecution of their religion. And we still live in this country. We're still here. Is this America? Table? Okay. So we're still in America, and we're still trying to live out the promise of our founding charters. We're still working on it. We're an evolutionary experiment if the world has ever seen one. People have come from here all around the world. There's so many religions, so many languages spoken. I mean, I lived in Brooklyn. There were 4 million people in my neighborhood. Someone's reading Yiddish on the train in the morning. People are speaking to their children in languages. You don't figure out which language in Europe it is, right? And people are living together in such close quarters. And New York has, per capita, one of the lowest crime rates in the world now. So in the United States. And so we know that we can live together and we know that we can get along. And I just don't think it's fair for you to call us up and give us a dissertation using an expletive like Mohammedism. I mean, like, where did you even find that word?
Wahhabism.
Well, I find it, beyond galling that a white man would call and tell the Muslim woman all about, Islam.
You need to define your Catholicism, okay? What kind of Catholic are you? Are you a good one? Are you one of the bad ones?
Well, and
are you the good atheist? Are you the bad atheist? Which one? Let us know.
He kind of didn't get the point, but then again, he does get the point on this. The thing that all these extremists, and I do count white male MAGA hat wearing dudes as extremists, the thing they all have in common is toxic masculinity.
Yes.
And that is the driver. The hat is just decoration. The religion is just an accoutrement. It's these guys who have all this aggression and no good place to channel it except on other people who are vulnerable.
And it's based in ignorance.
Yeah.
I let him go on for 2 minutes, but, when's the last time you went to a mosque, Jay? Have you studied Islam? Have you read a Quran? Or do you just read, on the internet?
It's YouTube videos.
Yeah. Yeah,
YouTube are doing videos. This.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Making these experts.
Right. So, I mean, as much as I invite Jay. You know what, Jay? I'm going to be one of those good Muslims that you're talking about. You know what I mean? The anti-extremist. And I'm going to invite you. You live in Sarasota. I'm sure you have a mosque down there. How about you go to one of them and tell them, I want to learn about your religion. And I'm sure those people will welcome you with open arms. Okay.
Right.
Let's take another call. We have a few here. Let's talk to John in Port Richey.
Hey,
hi, John.
Hey, thanks for the show. A couple of things. First of all, the guy that got the letter in the mail, isn't that a federal crime to send threatening letters through the mail? If so, I would contact my postal general down there, whatever area he's in, and let them know that he's getting these threatening letters in the mail. This whole idea that you're talking about, really, I think a way to help curb some of this negativity towards Muslims, it has to really come from the top, from our leaders. When you hear the president saying negative things, that's not really helping. And also, I hear all these people saying that Islam is not a real religion, which just drives me crazy. It's like, so there's this narrative out there that's being pushed by the media for whatever reason. And the final thing is that gentleman, I couldn't quite grasp what he was saying, but I hear this a lot. They always equate the religious with the action. That's like saying that Christianity is to blame for the Klan, or the Klan represents Christianity, which that's a false narrative. Just like saying these extremists that espouse their religious beliefs, quote-unquote, to do these acts in the name of whatever religious state, in the name of Islam, is a fallacy to equate those two and say, well, that's Islam. It's not. It's just some people using that religion to benefit their end, just like the Klan used the Christian religion to benefit their end. But nobody talks about that so much.
You're very right on many things. Thank you for calling, John. Let's take another call from, let's see, here we Kim in Tampa. Hi, Kim.
How you doing? Yeah, a couple things, a lot of good comments, but I agree that it's the ignorance of America. America's probably the most ignorant population on the planet when it comes to so many things, especially religion. And when I hear these people talk about Muslims and so forth, like the last guy said, you see an act, you equate Muslims and Islam, that all of them are bad. And no different than this guy going to shoot up a church, but he's a Christian. You don't say all Christians are bad. So it just drives me nuts how ignorant our society, America, is when it comes to so many things. But the reason I called in, I was walking in this building one day, and I noticed this lady is a chaplain, black female chaplain. We got to start talking about this incident over in New Zealand. And the first thing she said is, oh, my God, you know, those people, I'm afraid of those people. Now, this is a black Christian chaplain, and she makes that statement. And I'm like, that's what turns people off with religion, Christianity, and all this other stuff. Because these people go around teaching Christianity, and they have no idea what they're doing. They really, she's an extremist in the Christian faith.
Right.
To just blanket stereotype all Muslims and the whole religion of Islam is bad. Now, I'm afraid of these people. Well, I'm afraid of Christians.
And I'm afraid.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. The crazy out here that follow behind Christianity. I'm afraid of these people. So we as a society, the only way you can fix this problem, the best example we can make, in my opinion, to fix this problem is take that guy out of the White House. He is the worst example of an American that you can find. Every bad thing about America is sitting right there in that White House. So to me, the best example we can make, and I'm a 20-year veteran of the Army, and every time I look at this guy sitting in that White House, it makes me wonder why in the heck did I serve this country? Because that is the worst example you can have of an American. And that's all I wanted to say.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling
now,
him.
I want to provide some clarity because I keep hearing Trump as a centrifuge of this. And I do believe that the rhetoric that started there has amped this thing up. But we were plagued by many things before Trump was elected. We've been fighting poverty in this country in earnest for about 60 years. And African Americans still have a fraction of the wealth that white Americans have. That wealth, if the conversation around reparations is any indication, there's no time soon is this money going to transfer or make its way back into those coffers. Also, we still have a problem with trans women who have a life expectancy of 35 years. These things did not start with Trump.
The war on terror, quote
the
unquote,
war on terror did not start with Trump.
Barack Obama.
And I want to assign some blame to the media that for the last 25 years in this country has been showing us images of jihadists,
right?
You know, who want to kill you. The problem is, folks, you're not looking at the evidence. None of this fear is evidence-based. I mean, a fear often isn't. We're humans, right?
Right.
It's emotional. If you continue to see these images, you begin to have these thoughts.
Right.
Most of the people who are going to come, if you're going to die in a mass shooting, it's going to be a middle-aged white man who kills you.
Right.
That's the fact. The fact is, there's not some guy in a robe who's, you know, going to come and kill you and say, Allahu Akbar. That's not what that is. That's not happening. And so I don't know if the media is going to weigh in here and take some responsibility and some of the policies that we've developed over the years, our current battle with immigration. These are the things that come out of this sort of xenophobia.
You're right.
And so it's not something that Trump brought us.
No.
It's something that Trump capitalized on.
Yes.
I get the feeling the guy doesn't care one way or the other, right? He's just using it because a lot of people are vulnerable right now.
Exactly. And What do you think of the theory, Donna, that a lot of the prejudice and racism and xenophobia are like a backlash to the presidency of Barack Obama?
I think they're a backlash to the presidency and a backlash to Black Lives Matter. You know, a lot of black people talking smack. I was one of those people, still one of those people, unapologetic, you know, in the streets. We put 1,000 people in the streets after the Muslim ban, right? Hundreds of people. We shut down Ybor City several times. You know, I founded that organization. There are a lot of amazing organizers and coalition, people that were in coalition with us who did that. I think that... We continue to fight those fights, but list, what was your question? I got
backlash.
Lost. The backlash. This, yes. And so people got upset. They said, you're entitled, you're whining, you're free. Do you know what's happening in Africa? You people should be grateful for what you have. I mean, we had that conversation, right? Which is why I continue to be confused about why African Americans are getting in the conversation and being Islamophobic and anti-Semitic. Right. All of the isms are on the rise. All of the phobias are on the rise.
Totally. I was going to say something very, very brilliant, but, you know, totally blanked my mind. You see what I'm saying? Because you just blew me away with that. So now I don't know what to say. Islamophobia runs deep.
Yeah.
Very, very deep, yeah. Especially in the Christian community. And I wasn't taught to, you know, hate people, or especially based on their religion. And I grew up a Muslim. I was born a Muslim, went to Islamic school. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. I was indoctrinated, yeah, supposedly. Right. Or they just taught me, you know, some verses and did some crafts and, you know what I'm saying? Got to do some fashion shows and, you see what I'm saying? Yeah. And learned Arabic there on Saturdays and Wednesdays. So just like, you know, so many other, you know, children in this country go to... their religious school, Hebrew school, whatever it may be.
So I'll tell you something about me, because you guys might find interesting in radio land. I converted to Islam in the early 90s. And the reason why I didn't continue on that path, and I took it very seriously, you know, I wore 3/4. I was, you know, dressed modestly. I didn't continue on that path because my grandmother said, I don't believe that. I don't think that you are a Muslim. I think you're just, you know, like you're young and you're just trying on something new, right? She's very calm about it. She didn't get excited. My family just pretended that it wasn't happening, that there was just no way you could be, you know, because you know you're in danger of hell. So, you know, slowly over time, you're young. It's like, you know, you do something, no one gives you attention, and then you don't feel necessarily that you belong. I mean, I was, you know, it was a Sunni mosque. And so those things combined with being out of sync with your peers, eventually you just kind of drift back. And I would say today, if I were to say that anything was really inside my heart, it would be Islam. But there's no place, I don't feel that, you know, and I've traveled all over the country, that there's a place for me to be a practicing Muslim in a way that I feel that in the larger society of African Americans. And I'm not saying that I'm not a Muslim because of peer pressure. It's just something that happened. Had there been support for it 25 years ago, I would still be Muslim. So it was anti-Islamic ideas and sentiment that weren't amped up and crazy like they are right now, that took me away from that. So then I imagine actually being Muslim and then having to deal with the way people are right now when it was so mild back right then. It was just like, oh, that's not a thing. You know, just brush me off.
Can't be that.
Right. It's not real.
We can take it. You're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5. Let's take probably about one last call here or two from Karen in Dunedin.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Karen.
Hi.
I had so many different things to say, and then you kept talking. I'm like, oh, I need to respond to that. You're right. Trump has just made it very okay to talk like this, but these people have always been out there.
Yeah.
And another thing you said, I've been watching this documentary called Up From Slavery. And they actually, when they gave the slaves their freedom, or were going to, they say, you have it so much better than back in Africa. What the heck is even, what do they even mean by that? Why would somebody say that to you now? I it breaks my heart that you are still marginalized. And I agree with you. I do not like being anywhere near someone with a MAGA hat. I have neighbors that I say to myself because I know that they're supporters. They're more scary to me than anybody wearing... I mean, I was in Kolkata, and the people there, they get along. The Christians, the Muslims, the Hindu, they are all riding the same train. They respect each other, and it's so beautiful, and we've lost that here.
We absolutely have. We've lost our collective sense of empathy, I think.
Let's take another call, probably. There's no name, so.
Come on online.
All right.
Talk to us.
We have a Taylor from Tampa. Hi, Taylor.
How are you doing?
Hi, Taylor.
So, first off, I actually called because I wanted to address the 20-year Army veteran who stated, just I think two callers back now, how he served 20 years. And under the current president, he questions why he served. And as someone who has served both under a Democrat president and a Republican president, as I have, I've never thought to question, regardless of who is in the White House, regardless of who's the commander-in-chief, I've never thought this country is any less great than it has always been. And
so, Taylor, can you explain to me why you think this country has always been great?
Because in all the traveling I've done, I've been to a few different countries thanks to the military and thanks to some personal work that I've done. I've yet to come across a country that has a combination of the diversity we have in the freedoms to express ourselves as individuals. I'm not going to go as far as to say we're the only country with any bit of freedoms. That's completely ridiculous because there are countries that have freedoms. There's few countries that have the amount of freedoms we have, but there are countries with freedom. Generally speaking, though, if you were to travel the best places of the world, your first world countries that are on your bucket list of this is where I want to go before I die. Those countries are pretty much very monochromatic. There's a very high density of one group of people and a very small density of others. Australia, for instance, has something like along the lines of 90% Caucasian and some form of white, and the other 10% is a breakdown of the Aboriginals and other minorities.
Can I ask what countries you've served in, Taylor?
What country have I served in? I served in the United States Army.
What countries were you deployed to?
I have spent some time in Africa as well as the Middle East.
That's a continent. What countries in Africa?
Djibouti.
Okay. There's okay. A base, big base there.
And the Middle East is also a region.
Spent a little bit of time in Afghanistan and Kuwait.
All right. Thank you for calling, Taylor.
I have something I wanted to say about that. When I was a little girl, 70s, gosh, I just told my age on the radio. and my mom wanted to take me to use the bathroom. There was a diner that wasn't too far from our house, and she was walking to the store. And she had to look in the window to see if it was the type of place that she could take me into. You know, it's the most adorable 4-year-old little girl with a dress on.
I bet.
I did not register greatness. I registered that there was a problem with people who didn't know me. Like, emotionally, I knew that this group of people meant danger for me. My mother never said it, but I got it. And so when I hear people say greatness, like, that's the story that comes up in my head. And I want to tell you that yesterday I got to sit with the family of Jesus Calderon. And he was a developmentally disabled man who was killed by the police. And the police, you know, would come to the house and, you know, and defuse him. And it was like a predictable thing, except the cop that they sent day before yesterday jumped out of the car and said, throw the knife, you know, drop the knife. And before Jose threw the knife, Jesus threw the knife, and then he shot him 3 times.
Oh.
And he was killed. And so that family is not thinking, you know, this is great, you know,
right.
Because they're probably thinking we could have stayed in our beautiful Puerto Rico. You know, and Puerto Rico, don't call in and ask about a foreign, it's not a foreign country. And I need you to Google that.
Yeah.
Don't call us. And just because people will do it, you know. And so I want to talk about when you think of, when you say great, please remember that people are having different experiences. And I'm not going to bash you for your experience. I think we've got a little bit too much of that going. But, and we only have a couple minutes left, and I have a co-host here. But please remember that we're not having... our experience as Americans is not a monolith.
And even among white Americans, a white male has so many more privileges than a white female does. We still don't have the Equal Rights Amendment passed in the United States of America. Women, on average, are making 70 cents to a man's dollar, and that's 70 cents if you look at the white women, and the black women are trailing behind at 50 cents. And so it's great if you're a white male in America, sure. For everybody else, not so much.
Right.
I just find it interesting that the country, well, he was in Afghanistan, and he's questioning somebody else's. Why were you in Afghanistan? What did you do? As we are now, I believe, is it 17 years into that war?
That's the work.
What,
right?
Have we accomplished?
What we're teaching here.
Right. What did we accomplish? Yeah. What was so great about that? How many Iraqis and Afghanis have died in this war on terror for people who never did anything?
I'm just going to enjoy looking at my shoe.
I think we have time for one more call from Hugh in Dover. Hi, Hugh. We got about 1 minute.
Hi, ladies. Well, very quickly, I just want to say that for anyone who's interested in learning about a religion other than the one that they're currently practicing, the Quran is available. It's translated into English, and I found it at St. Louis University while I was in St. Louis on the campus. And it's available for free for anybody that's interested.
And where do they get this?
It's at St. Louis University.
Okay.
And it's available at there's an on-campus pharmacy, and that's where I got it from.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure they're still there, and you can just pick one up if you want.
I also assure you, if you go to any of your local mosques, they'll be more than willing to give you a Quran in English, you know, translated for free.
And then just, you know, to have any of your female listeners that are concerned about, you know, the direction that America is going in. I believe the last five generals that were promoted in the Air Force to the rank of general were females. And so the world is changing. I think that men, you know, took the predominant role because a lot of, you know, expansion is through the military. And so men played a predominant role. But, you know, the world is changing, and I think women are catching up, and they're exceeding men in a lot of areas, and dentistry, especially in the Florida area. So I just think hang in there. You know, things are going to get better. I promise. You know, there's no doubt the world is going to become a better place for all of us.
We have to hope so, Hugh. Thank you for calling.
Thank you, Hugh. I have something for all the surly girls in the world. She the People, a presidential forum that's going to boast names like Linda Sarsour, Joy Reid, Stacey Abrams, etc., maybe Elizabeth Warren. So for all of you super fans and stands out there, political wonks, it's going to take place on Wednesday, April 24th in Houston, Texas.
Oh, wow.
And so if you're interested, go to shethepeople.com. I just found this last night, and I'm like, what are you even doing?
Yes.
You know we're changing the world in Florida, and we didn't know.
Can we go? You ready?
I want to go.
Let's plan it.
And I want a Tampa delegation to go, which is why I'm announcing it right now.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
So what's the website again?
Shethepeople.com.
Shethepeople.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'm definitely going to check that out.
Yeah, a presidential forum.
Oh, again, you're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5. We've been talking about white supremacy, Islamophobia, and I have one final thing I'd like to... You know what? That's what we'll do. I invite all these WMNF listeners to come to Juma prayer. That is Friday prayers, okay? Come to your local mosque. There's one here in Tampa on Sly. There's also one off 56th Street called, I can't remember the name of it right now. There's another one in downtown. If you come, if you let me know, if you email me at dj@wmnf.org, I will be there for you. You wanted to have a whole Tampa delegation come to the mosque on Sly?
Yes.
I'll be there and I'll meet you there. We'll take a tour, do everything. They're also having an open house on April 20th, and I will talk about that more next time. You're listening to WMNF Tampa 88.5.
Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks. I like going to the Tula. I put rocks all in my watch. I like texts from my exes when they want a second chance. I like proving wrong. I do what they say I can't. They call me Cardi, Cardi, banging body, spicy mommy, hot tamale, hotter than a Somali bird. Go, Ferrari, hop up the scoop, jump in the coop. Big dip on top of the roof, flexing on as hard as I can. Eating halal, driving a Lamb. So that bitch, I'm sorry though. Got my coins like Mario. Yeah, they call me Cardi B. I run this shit like cardio. Diamond District in the